Hey, turn this out back in the studio, will ya? Come on now. This is Dr. Ripley the music right here. Get a little head bobbing going.
That is a classic. Are you kidding me?
We are live in the Slider House for our Wednesday night tradition. Tonight it's on a Thursday. Last night it was great to hear Benji Molina and the boys doing the Spanish broadcast of the Cardinals and the Cincinnati Reds. I listened to a couple innings there, Doc.
Did you understand anything? Or?
Well, listen now. You know, I'm bilingual.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I can speak many languages. So that probably makes me more than bilingual, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you're multilingual.
I'm multilingual. So my daughter's taking Spanish. You know, she's in first grade. They take Spanish 3 days a week. And I said, listen, we got to listen to the Cardinal games in Spanish. She's like, you don't even listen when it's in English. What makes you want to listen to it when it's in Spanish? I said, no, we got to check this out. So we listened to, like, a little bit, and they did a great job, and so I actually talked to the Cardinals about getting Benji Molina, you know, come talk to their Spanish class.
I think that would be awesome. I think that'd be awesome. You know? And you know what? I think if you listen to stuff like that, or you go to movies in Spanish or whatever language you're trying to figure out, mm-hmm. you really can learn quite a bit. You know, kind of an immersion thing. But quite honestly, I grew up in Miami. If you don't speak Spanish, you're hosed. So
you fluent?
I wouldn't say I'm fluent, but I'm pretty
there,
fluent.
I mean, I'm sure a lot of your friends were, though, right? I mean, growing up in Miami?
You didn't have any choice. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, if you didn't speak Spanish, there was 60% of the people you couldn't talk to.
How's your family in Florida, obviously, with the hurricane last week?
You know, I think they both got, my brother and sister got very lucky. The storm turned west, as everybody knows, and went up the West Coast, so my brother lost a few trees, but didn't really have any structural damage, and he was right on the water. My sister, the same thing. So, you know, a mess to clean up, but didn't blow their house down, didn't flood. So, all good so far.
What did they have to do to prepare? I mean, you hear about people boarding up their windows, and that puts holes in your siding or whatever you have there, right? I mean, it's not ideal to do that. Were they forced to do some of that preliminary work to prepare?
Well, you know, you got two options. You can board up your windows, which, as you said, put nail holes in your whatever, mm-hmm. whatever your structure is, or you can get shutters, and shutters are expensive, and yeah. you hire somebody, and they come with a giant truck, and they put their shutters up, probably cost you $4,000 or $5,000.
Really? But insurance won't cover that, will it?
No. But you know, if you think about if your whole house floods, a window breaks and your house floods, insurance is, you know, doesn't make a difference. $5,000 is not much to pay for the shutters, and it protects you against the wind blowing through the house and blowing your roof off.
Yeah. All right. Dr. Rick Lehman's here. I'm Andy Strickland. We're live at the Slider House here at the corner of McKnight and Manchester. As always, the show is brought to you by Gateway Buick GMC. We had Hockey Sense last hour, brought to you by MTC Truck Driver Training and Gateway Buick GMC, presented by Four Hands Brewing Company. And, you know, Doc, Mike Liu was here, who, of course, had a longtime NHL career. Now he's one of the top agents in the business. And you mentioned, you know, I mean, learning Spanish and whatever. And he represents Vladimir Tarasenko, but I talked to a lot of these European players that come over and play in the National Hockey League, and they learn the language by watching TV, a lot of them. I mean, Clem Costin, who was drafted 31st overall by the Blues, he's been taking English classes throughout the summer, but a lot of these guys can learn the language by watching TV. And when I travel abroad, if I'm in Europe or whatever and I turn the TV on, I could watch that for 6 months straight and still have no clue what they're saying. It's amazing these guys at such a young age can grasp a difficult language like English as quick as they do.
Well, no, I think that's right. But that's the only way to learn it. I think if you go, you're talking about your daughter, you can go to Spanish class mm-hmm. and they can teach you the words and teach you phrases, etc. But until you're forced to figure it out and understand what's going on, it's very hard. And that's why this immersion technique you're talking about, where you kind of get dumped in a country, you're watching TV, you're reading the newspaper, you're either going to figure it out or you're going to starve to death or you're never going to see anything. And that's really not a bad way to do it, which gets back to why it's not the worst thing to listen to the Cardinal game in Spanish.
Yeah.
Because you kind of know what's going on and you can kind of put two and two together. So, again, I think that's pretty cool.
No, really, really cool. And a buddy of mine lives half the year in a in Colombia, the country. And then he met a wife there, actually. Then they live half the year here in the States. But he's learned Spanish. He's fluent in Spanish now just from dating a girl from the country of Colombia. So I kind of want to learn another language, Doc. You know, some of these books they have where you can learn a language in, like, you know, 6 days or something like that. I mean, do you believe in those or no?
I think that's specious. Now, I think you can learn some phrases and you can grasp some of the general trends, but to learn a language in 6 days or some of these Rosetta Stone, I think it probably takes a little longer than that.
That's what I was trying to think of, Rosetta Stone. That's amazing. We got football on, by the way, here at the Cider House tonight with the Houston Texans traveling to the Cincinnati Bengals. It's a big game already here in week 2, both teams being 0-1, Doc. We're seeing injuries already, obviously, but Tom Brady, at 40 years of age, I heard somebody say he looked like a wounded giraffe when he was trying to move around. Now, you expect him to be better here in week 2, but again, 40 is 40. At the end of the day, I mean, there is no warning sign for a guy to drop off when Father Time takes over. I know he's been great, and he'll continue probably to be great. I may be wrong here, but at the end of the day, at some point in time, you're going to look like your age, won't you?
Well, that's exactly the point, and that's 200% the point. So the point is, let's say he's 50, or let's say he's 55, or, you know, at some point he's not going to be Tom Brady of 30 years old, and whether that's now or, and, you know, you see with Adam Wainwright, you can list the athletes that sooner or later they get older, they have to have their performance drop off, and that may be the case, and it may be a little bit of rust. They've had some key injuries. So it'll be interesting to see if he bounced back. I just always remember the 1 year they started out terrible and everybody was talking to each other and everybody was screaming at each other. And they basically said, hey, we're sorry for being so bad. We can't always be good. And they won the Super Bowl that year. So you got to be careful about saying, hey, the New England Patriots aren't really looking all that good.
But at some point in time, you just got to figure, Gronkowski, I mean, he's one of the best tight ends in the history of the game. He's had so many injuries, Doc. I mean, I don't care how great of an athlete you are. When you've had all these different type of injuries, I mean, at some point in time, isn't that going to take its toll, too, even with medicine being as advanced as it is?
Well, first of all, Gronk is Gronk.
And he's a freak.
He's a freak. And so you can't generalize that guy to anybody. Number one, he's had every injury in the medical book. He's a walking medical book.
God.
Back injuries,
yes. Elbows,
fractured forearm, refractured forearm, torn ACL, and the guy has always come back. That's number one. Number two, you know, he probably is injury free. Would have been the greatest tight end ever. Not even close. Gonzalez. No, you could pick anybody. The guy was amazing. But even with the injuries, you know, he just keeps bouncing back. He's got a great attitude. He keeps bouncing back. But as you said, sooner or later, the injuries and the age have to take your toll. And Tom Brady's had 5 knee surgeries.
It's not that
he's injury-free. He had an infected ACL. He did come back. He's been great. And, again, I wouldn't write him off just yet. But as you said, you hit it on the head. At some point, you know, you're just not going to be able to run the 100 like you could used to run the 100.
And I want to get back to Brady real quick because everyone says, well, he still has the same arm strength and whatever, and it looks like he can still throw the ball. But if you talk to people who truly know the position, and they'll tell you it's not about arm strength, it's about his legs. And that's the first thing to go. And once those legs go, when you're 40 years of age, then all of a sudden you're not getting the same velocity on the football, you're not making the same throws that you once did. So it's not always about the arm, is it? It's about below the waist. That's what drives the strength in your arm.
I think a lot of things happen. I think your vision changes a little bit. Your ability to read the defenses changes.
And when you're getting hit, too, right? Even when you're getting older and you're getting hit, I mean, taking those hits, it's not the same when you're 40 versus even when you're 36 and 35.
Whatever. And you're nervous about it. So if you look at Peyton Manning at the end of his career, you know, he really couldn't see weak side defense coming. You know, he was such a master at reading the plays, but you could see he got burned a lot of times and got hit a lot of times because he just couldn't get out of the way, number one, and he didn't have the same sense of the defense that he had when he was younger. Brady's going to have some of that. And number two, you can't, even though he never was a running quarterback, his ability, his agility, his quick feet are going to slow down precipitously after probably 35, 36. So now you're 40, and that quick release may still be there, but your feet are not going to get you in the same position, and you're not going to be able to move and slide where that defensive guy is just about to annihilate you. So you're going to see some of that, and they know that, so they're going to come from both sides and try to blindside him.
And we saw some of that. I mean, Listen, it's Tom Brady, and that's the thing. When you really celebrate sports, Doc, and you love sports, you don't like to see superstar players all of a sudden look like they're human and all of a sudden just drop off. And we haven't even seen week two. He may throw for 400 yards tomorrow, for all I know, and five touchdowns. Not tomorrow, but Sunday. 400 yards and five. He could very easily could do that. But, again, they've got other issues. Their defense isn't very good. And the offensive line, obviously, cracked under pressure. And when he's getting hit, I don't care who you are. We saw that with Kurt Warner a lot. And when you're getting hit as a quarterback, you're not the same. You're not the same player. But a number of – anything stick out in your mind, though, after the first week in the National Football League? I mean, you're seeing a lot of lower body injuries. You got the ACL injuries, broken ankles. You see the player who had a broken ankle. I think it was from the – I want to say it was – it may have been from the Eagles, where they actually said on the television, if you don't like to watch some of these injuries, then turn away. So I turned away. I didn't even watch. But when you see non-contact injuries, Doc, which we're seeing a lot, I mean, we saw that with an Achilles, with Eric Berry from the Kansas City Chiefs, non-contact injury. But a broken ankle from a non-contact injury, you hardly ever see that.
I agree with that. I think there's some turf issues going on in the league, which we can discuss. Some of the turfs are too spongy, and the cleats are sticking or the shoes are sticking a little bit, hence an Achilles injury. You know, you saw David Johnson dislocate his wrist, and you did see some pretty significant non-contact injuries. But when you're 230, you're all muscle, or you're 290 or 310, you're all muscle, and you have to stop that locomotive running down the field, and your ACL is the same size, your Achilles the same size as Andy Strickland, the superstar NBA basketball player, you know, things are going to happen. And I think that that's what happens. And you know what? This is a violent sport. Anybody watching pro football today to say pro football, you know, is no different than bull riding or I mean, it's a violent, violent sport.
Dislocated wrist for David Johnson. They're saying somewhere around 6 weeks. Who knows how long it's going to be? But, I mean, a dislocated wrist for a running back, I mean, you got to have a healthy wrist to carry the football, don't you?
Absolutely. And
you saw him fumble on his next carry, too.
And I think that what you're going to see in this guy is you're going to see that wrist protected for the rest of his career. And he's also going to be a little gun-shy for the rest of his career. I mean, you don't dislocate your wrist and then forget about it and move on. That's always in the back of your mind because that is one terrible, disfiguring injury. Much like when you break your ankle and you're looking there and it's pointed the wrong way. I mean, I remember when Moises Alou dislocated his ankle. I mean, that was one of the most disgusting things
I
had ever seen.
Terrible. You know, there was the thought years ago, before we had as much information as we do now, and you know, athletic training and weight training has gotten to the level that it is today. But there was the thought, people used to say, hey, the more muscular you are, the more you lift weights, the more susceptible you are to becoming injured or to, you know, suffering muscle injuries or straining ligaments or whatever. Was that ever true, and do you subscribe to that? I mean, when guys are popping biceps and suffering those type of injuries, pectoral injuries, I mean, can any of that be related to how much these guys lift and work out?
Well, I think that you have two issues here. You have guys that are very, very muscular and inflexible and guys that are muscular and flexible. And then you have a sport that lends itself to tearing big muscles. Most people tear their pec major lifting weights. You know, they're lifting too much weight and they can't decelerate on a bench press, so they push up and they tear their pec. And so that's the common mechanism. Biceps injuries, you're going to make a tackle, you wrap your arm around a guy, he keeps going, you tear your biceps. So those injuries are definitely related to the strength and the violence of the football game. So if everybody's smaller, there's going to be less stress on your biceps. But I don't think that a guy, just because he's muscular, is prone to have a muscle injury or a biceps tendon tear. Now, the one caveat of that is if you supplement, there are higher incidence of hamstring injuries, biceps tears, etc., when you take, you know, illegal supplements. And those illegal supplements can increase your chances of having one of those injuries, and we do see that pretty frequently.
Wow. All right. That's crazy.
Football's crazy. Football, you're going to see more and more injuries, and you're going to see more and more non-contact injuries, and you're going to see more and more turf-related injuries as guys are bigger and stronger. And you know what? No matter how many times you talk about it, every year they're bigger.
And Brian Cushing gets suspended for 10 games for violating the league's substance abuse policy. I mean, like, well, there's a shocker. I mean, you could just, you just look at him. I mean, he just sweats PEDs, you know? I mean, I hate to say that, but it's like, I mean, are you kidding me? Like, that's not shocking at all, is it?
I don't even, I mean, I think he thumbed his nose at the league. I said, you know, I think he basically said, look, this is what I'm doing. And
mm-hmm.
I mean,
you.
It's anything. Screw you, right. And if you catch me, you catch
me. He screwed his team, though. I'll tell you that right now. They need him on the field.
No question about it. But I don't really think he ever did anything. I mean, there's ways to do it and not get caught, ways to do it and be a dummy. And if you're going to play for a team and you're one member of a team, if you're a tennis player and you want to get suspended for doing it, it's your own problem, or a golfer, don't worry about it. But when a team's counting on you, you got to be a little bit more sensitive to, hey, do what you got to do not to get caught, and you don't have to get caught.
All right. Natasha Kwan will be here from Frieda's in University City. Looking forward to that. We got a lot of stuff to get into with Natasha, and, of course, she'll talk about her great restaurant. Frieda's there in University City. If you want to eat like a pro, you got to go to Frieda's. And last time she was here, we were talking about Eclipse sunglasses and all this stuff.
That was awesome, fun. Wasn't it?
She was great.
She
sold like a million of them, and she'll be here very, very soon. So we look forward to that conversation as we do each time Natasha joins us. I want to talk about this, though, Doc, before we take a break. You sent me this earlier in the week, and I read this, and I found it interesting because these are foods that I think a lot of people probably eat on a regular basis. Five popular food choices that are believed to cause cancer. Now, you don't ever want to hear the C word in general, but if people are eating foods, these are like comfort foods that people are digesting on a daily basis, and if they're causing cancer, I mean, you might want to stop eating these. Before we get into the foods that are causing cancer, how much weight do you put into this study? I mean, when people are listening to this, does that mean they should never eat this again, any of these foods we mentioned? Should they take it with a grain of salt, or do you think this is a legit study?
Well, first of all, I think that once there's a scientific association with cancer and a food, then you just have to say to yourself, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. Mm-hmm. So I would have to tell you that out of those five foods, I would never eat any of those foods again, personally.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's the first thing. The second thing is, it's like artificial sweeteners. Mm-hmm. If some people say, hey, they're totally safe. They're only bad in mice, etc.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's articles that say, well, they might cause Alzheimer's. They may predispose you to cancer. So even a weak association in a scientific study, which has to be almost at 100% to prove that it is an effect, would lead me away from eating those foods or taking a chance. So I would say if you're eating a ton of artificial sweetener and there is this weak association with Alzheimer's, why would you take a chance? Get some honey, get some sugar, you know, maybe your iced tea isn't as sweet, so what? But don't take a chance.
All right, let's start with Nutella chocolate spread. People have been giving their kids Nutella for several years, but the European Food Safety Authority reports that palm oil, so it's the palm oil, which is the key ingredient in Nutella chocolate spread, may be a carcinogen when cooked at high temperatures of about 200 degrees Celsius. I don't know. You can translate that for us.
So that's pretty hot, but that's okay. You probably should not cook with Nutella. And the corollary of that is you probably should not be cooking with things that have palm oil in them. So if you're reading the ingredients of whatever you're eating.
And it says palm oil.
And it's got palm oil in it, and you're going to go fry it up. You know, we know that the palm oil changes character and becomes a carcinogen at temperatures greater than 180 to 200 Celsius. So the bottom line is, no matter what, you know, why would you take a chance cooking with palm oil?
What is palm oil? Palm oil comes from where? Palm trees or what?
Yeah, it's you know, there's a million different kinds of oils. Olive oil,
vegetable oil, canola oil.
You know, 200 degrees Celsius is only 400 degrees Fahrenheit. So basically, you're not talking about, I mean, people cook it at,
yeah, but what are you making? What would you make Nutella? I don't even know what you would use. I thought it's like a spread that
you make. Yeah, it's like a chocolate. So if you're going to make any kind of cake, you're going to bake
whatever,
dessert,
yeah.
Anything you're going to cook, you know, Nutella is going to be your thing. And when you do that, you run a real risk that you're going to have. Now, if you eat it one time, is that going to kill you? No.
Probably not.
But if you're someone who's putting it, you know, routinely eating Nutella, and a lot of people love it, and it tastes good, don't get me wrong, but it's probably not very healthy.
All right, let's go on to number two, and that is microwave popcorn. That has been an American favorite for a long time, Doc.
Well, first of all, and I just had this discussion in my practice about a week ago, and I got in a little bit of an argument with a scientist. microwave popcorn is terrible for you.
Really?
I mean, popcorn's fine. You cook it up, put a little popcorn in your
cook it on the stove, or get a microwave
get a
popcorn popper. Yeah,
whatever you want to do. But as soon as you put that popcorn in your microwave in that bag with that diacetyl in it, that stuff is going to give you cancer. I mean, if you eat enough microwave popcorn, you're going to get cancer, or the mice going to get cancer, or whatever they're testing. So it's not so much the popcorn, it's the way they make the popcorn so it can pop in the microwave.
It's been linked to an obstructive lung disease, and it's known as the popcorn lung. That's how it has its own name, Doc.
That's right.
And that is the how do you pronounce that?
Diacetyl?
Diacetyl.
Right.
So that's the ingredient that they're saying causes cancer in microwave popcorn. And they're calling it the popcorn lung.
Right.
And it goes straight to the lungs or what?
Well, it causes an inflammatory response and then cancer in your lungs. And also the material in the bottom of the bag, which are these alkyls, mm-hmm. also create pre-cancer problems that then go on to give you cancer, thyroid cancers and bladder cancer. So these things, you know, truly have been linked to these issues. So if you're a popcorn lover, you just got to have your popcorn. Just cook it on your stove, old-fashioned.
Yeah.
Or like you said, get a popper and on with the show.
Yeah, I like that. All right, this next one I'm not surprised about at all. Hot dogs, bacon, and processed meats. You probably might want to stay away from some of those, right?
Well, and I don't have to, you know, so anybody out there who wants to go eat a hot dog, the next time you do it, take it out of the bun, cut it in half, and I want to know what kind of meat looks like the inside of a hot dog. Mm. You know, what you've ever seen, a cow, a chicken that looks like the inside, pink with white things floating around and all the gunk in it, you know that's got to be bad for you. Does it taste good? They're great. At a Cardinal game, they're wonderful. But you got to know they're terrible for you.
You ever had a vegetarian hot dog?
I have.
It tastes like the same, don't
they? They're great.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, if you go to Frieda's, if they have hot dogs, they're going to be great.
They got to have a hot dog day.
And they're going to be healthy.
Hot dog night. But they are, I mean, you wouldn't know the difference. Maybe you would. I don't know.
No, you wouldn't. You put a little mustard and a little relish or whatever you put on your hot dog, you're not going to know any difference.
We should do like a taste test.
Okay, let's do that.
Let's give people vegetarian hot dogs.
We'll see
if they know the difference.
We'll double blind study. We'll get the vegetarian, we'll get the real deal, and we'll just say, hey, which one is better?
People are driving around right now and said, I would never touch a vegetarian hot dog. They're not bad, I'll tell you
that.
But
you know what? It's like vegetarian hamburgers. Yeah. You got to eat one first before you can badmouth it.
But they're
it.
Better than that. I mean, some of these homemade, like Frieda's, for example, they make a great black bean burger and a great house burger, I should call it. It's like the Frieda's burger. And they are delicious. You know, some veggie burgers aren't as good as others. There are some that are very, very good. But the processed meats,
yeah, they have nitrites in them. You know they're going to give you cancer.
So that's what it is that's in these, in the bacon and the, you know. What about turkey bacon? People eat that.
Well, I think it's not the pig or the turkey. It's the processing of the bacon, the nitrites that are in the bacon to process the bacon. So I think that's really where you're going to get hosed. And you probably want to, you know, again, if you have bacon once a week or every other week and you want to eat a little bacon, rock and roll, do it. If you're somebody who's just got to eat bacon every day, you know, you're taking a risk.
All right, let's get to these next two before we take a break. Canned food. What are they talking about here?
Well, canned food is, and again, anything that's processed that lives forever that you can put in your shelf and in 10 years.
What about like black beans? Kidney beans, corn. I mean, is that included here? Or are we talking like SpaghettiOs, for example, you give your kids or whatever?
You're just lining up the cancers.
Does that quicker count? Does that count?
Anything with BPA in it, biphenyl.
How do you know if it has it? Is it on the?
It's going to be right there on the label.
On the ingredients?
It's going to be right there on the ingredients.
So BPA is what to look for there with the canned goods, right?
Absolutely. And there is no question that if you're going to eat, you know, these phenols, you are going to be at risk. And again, you want to have one can of SpaghettiOs every month, cool. But if you're eating canned foods right and left, you know, anything that lives in your house and in 10 years you can still eat it, you probably shouldn't eat.
Canned tuna?
Canned tuna. I don't think canned tuna is as bad because I don't think the canned tuna is a little different because the curing process in canned tuna is the salt. And so I don't think it's as bad. You worry a little bit about the mercury. So if I were going to can anything, it would be fish because the reason that they live so long has to do with the salting process, not the BPA.
All right, the last one before we take a break, soda. No shocker here.
Yeah, I mean, so soda, you know, where's the rub there? You know, tons of sugar. If you drink, we just talked about artificial sweeteners, have an increased risk of biliary cancer and gallbladder cancer. And sugar, the sugar in soda, especially if you're drinking 3-4 sodas a day, are so bad for you in terms of getting type 2 diabetes that you really don't even want to take a chance.
It's linked to gallbladder cancer specifically.
Well, soda. That's the artificial sweeteners.
Okay.
And they're you know, they're terrible for you.
Yeah. All right. Well, there's your lowdown. There's what not to eat. We just told you. We just added about 10, 15, maybe 20 years onto your life. Soda, canned food, stay away from those. Hot dogs, bacon, and processed meats. Now, people drive. You can have a hot dog if you go to a game once or twice a year, right? I mean, like, but just not on a...
Well, I think anything you want to eat, again, on an individual basis once in a while, I mean, the worst thing in the world for you, whatever it is, if you have it once in a while, no harm, no foul,
right,
moderation.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's people that probably eat canned foods every day.
Mm.
And there's people that drink, you know, 64 ounces of soda a day.
Yes, yeah.
And I think that's when it becomes excessive, and I think that's when you got to be careful.
Yeah, you do have to be careful.
Drink your water. Drink some water.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Doc, this show is brought to you by Gateway Buick GMC. You talk about customer service at its finest. That is what you get there at the corner of McDonald Boulevard and I-27. They are unbelievable over there with Gateway Buick GMC, are they not?
I think they're amazing. And I'll tell you, they've got some unbelievable used car deals right now that are through the roof, and obviously new car deals that are through the roof. And we're just talking about the GMC, the little GMC 4x4, and it is gas mileage is unbelievable. Every bell and whistle, they run like a top. There's no Japanese car. I mean, it used to be you buy Japanese cars, they're so reliable.
Right.
There's not any Japanese cars that are more reliable than these things. These cars are great.
You know, Gateway Buick GMC, you know, their service department, they are now proud to announce, Doc, the only dealer in the area qualified, or one of the only dealers in the area, I should say, qualified to say they're a certified elite service department. So they are elite with their service department. And that means for you, it's comfort, ease, and the quality care your vehicle deserves. Over 37 service bays, so they get you in, they get you out, they get you on the road. 37 service bays. Most places maybe have like 4. This is 37.
Right.
So you're in, you're out, and they're taking care of you big time. Check them out online, www.stlouisbuickgmc.com. You can call them 888-865-9419. Again, stlouisbuickgmc.com, or give them a shout, 888-865-9419. 1-9. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll catch up with Natasha Kwan from Frida's in University City. We'll see what she has to say.
We got to ask her about hot dogs.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
All right.
Maybe she sells hot dogs over there at Frida's. Maybe a vegetarian hot dog. You never know, man. You have that on the menu? We'll take a break and come back with much, much more. We're live at the Slider House here at the corner of McKnight and Manchester in Rock Hill. Don't go anywhere.